Good morning. Welcome to worship. Had to finalize a last minute announcement there. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. There are some cards in the pew in front of you if you would like to fill one out, just to give us a little bit information about who you are, and then drop that in the offering plate as it comes around. I would encourage you to take a look at your bulletin, as we do have several things coming up, but I'll just go over a few with you this morning. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, we do have a floating bridal shower for Sarah Eggers in the fellowship hall. At 4:15, the youth will have a deep impact meeting in the youth room. Very important for parents and youth to be there if they can. 5 o'clock, we'll have Journey, and then 6 o'clock tonight, we have a movie night. The outreach committee will be sponsoring the movie night, and they will be showing The Insanity of God, a true story of missionaries Nick and Ruth Ripken, a story of faith and persecution, and how to walk with Jesus day by day, even when it doesn't make sense. Refreshments will be provided. Come and bring a friend. Then also coming up this week on Tuesday, the youth will be meeting here Tuesday morning in the fellowship hall from 10 to 12 for a service project. And then there will also be a deacon's meeting that night at 7. Also, in the way of announcements for youth, I am requesting your help. I need cereal boxes. I'm doing a little special project with the youth regarding books of the Bible. And so I need some cereal boxes to do a special project with them. So if you have a cereal box that you have gone through and you used, don't throw it away. Bring it and put it in the little kitchen so that I can use it for the youth group. That would be greatly appreciated. Also, the end of the season softball tournament will be tomorrow night at 6:30 with the possibility of a 9 o'clock game and then also another game on Thursday possibility as well. And then the last announcement that we have for you this morning, anyone planning on going on any part of the Kentucky mission trip from July 22nd through July 29th needs to meet in the W.C. Howard Sunday School class at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, June 28th to finalize plans. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, we are so thankful to be in your house of worship this morning. God, we thank you for the many gifts that you give to us in which we don't deserve, Lord, one of those being grace. We thank you for that, and we thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to remember that today as we come here to worship you. Quiet our hearts and minds so that we can focus only on worshiping you during this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Children, if you will please watch for Taylor to move after this song, after the ushers start back down the aisle. When she moves down to the steps, you all start moving, particularly those of you that are further back. Let's turn to number 320. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us today in your house, Lord. And we want to thank you for your many blessings that you have bestowed on us. Lord, we want to remember those that are sick and are hurting, those that are going through the very tough times of life, Lord. Please be their rock. Thank you for dying for us and forgive us of our many sins. And use this offering for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
so many of you down here this morning. That makes me so happy. It's so good to see y'all. I brought something with me. Let's see if you know what this is. Do you know what these are? They're pencils, yeah. Now, each of these pencils, they're different, right? They have different colors on them. This one has polka dots, and it's orange, and this one's pink, my favorite. And this one is a mechanical pencil, so it's a little bit different, but it's got yellow on there, and this one's purple. But what about all these pencils is the same? What do they all have?
Erasers.
Erasers, that's right. Well, I want you to imagine this today, okay? We are kind of like these pencils. People are kind of like pencils. We're all different, right? We all might come in different shapes and sizes and colors, but we all have erasers. Do you know what that means? Well, how do we have erasers? Well, so it can erase the mistakes. So as Christians, God is our eraser, right? Because his son Jesus died on the cross for us, he is our eraser of our sins, and he's forgiven us, right? So as Christians, we can be reminded when we see a pencil and we see the eraser on the end that we have an eraser in our lives. That's Jesus, because he saved us from our sins, right? Can we remember that and be thankful for that? Yeah? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for these kids that are down here this morning, Lord. God, we thank you that you are our eraser and that you sent your son to save us from our sins. God, help us to live into that this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As the children are returning, hymn number 301, I Am Resolved. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
selected verses from 1 Kings 8. If they come to their senses, are sorry for what they've done, and plead with you in the land where they are captives, saying, "We have sinned, we have done wrong, we have been wicked," they may sin against you.
No one is sinless. They may become angry with them and hand them over to the enemy, who takes them to another country as captives, whether it is far or near. Then hear their prayer for mercy in heaven and do what is right for them.
When your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you may send them, and they pray to you, O Lord, toward the city you have chosen them, and the temple I have built for your name.
If they come to their senses, are sorry for what they've done, and plead with you in the land where they are captives, saying, "We have sinned, we have done wrong, we have been wicked," then in heaven, the place where you live, hear their prayer for mercy, do what is right for them.
Thank you, ladies. If you'd open your Bible, you'll see our prayer concerns and many names. Many names. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we post these names not to remind you, but to remind us. To remind us of opportunities to do your work, to shed your love, to be hands and feet of your grace and of your mercy, to reach out to those in need with your love. And Lord, we have gathered in this place and we have gathered in your name on this day, and our ideas are now leaning toward the sin. We're just saying, if all opposes, friends or foe, still we'll enter in to our walk with you. The girls just read when the children of Israel would call out and confess their wicked ways and their sin, you would heal. And Lord, probably there are some of us here today who need your healing. Sin has become strong in our life. It has taken a place that we are not comfortable with. It has caused us to make decisions we would not normally make. It is leading our life in ways we do not want to go. And so today, O God, give us a spirit of confession. Give us a desire for your justification in our heart. And in our life, would you take what is wrong in our life and make it right? That we might leave this building in the refreshness of your grace and in the joy of our salvation and in the power of right living with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Mother, grace of our Lord.
And the people said, God's grace, God's grace, it is greater than all our sins. Thank you, choir. Today I'm going to begin a series on the core of the faith. We're going to talk today and next Sunday about two parts of the same whole, justification and next Sunday salvation. Then we're going to look on at the process of being saved called sanctification. And then we're going to finally look at the ultimate goal, glorification, when we shall put off this earthly tent and put on a glorified body. All of those are part of the same whole. They're part of how can God overcome our sin. We spent some time this past Wednesday night, and let me invite you to Wednesday night as I do a little bit of teaching before about the sermon to hopefully make it better when you sit here in the worship center. And we talked about justification. We talked about what that means and how it is to make someone acceptable, how to make someone right. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, and we read Romans wrong most often. Are you one of those chapter a day kind of Bible readers? Sometimes you stop right in the middle of his thought and then spend a whole life of living and then come back and don't really realize, if you're like me, I'll just be honest, maybe you don't remember as keenly what you read the night before as you did. And then I'm going to go ahead, before I start preaching, I'm going to meddle just a little bit. You know, some of you turn in, you know, we have less than 30% of our folks who turn in statistics saying they read their Bibles every day. Let me do a commercial for Bible reading. You need to be in God's Word if you want God's Word to be in you. Amen. You've got to be in God's Word if God's Word's going to be in you. So let me encourage you and invite you to do that. But having said that, I still think when we do read, if you read a chapter, don't read Romans that way. Read it all. Just read it all. Say, wow, preacher, that would take at least 14 minutes. Well, find 14 minutes and read it all. Because it's one thought. It's one thought. It's Paul saying, well, it's not more. It's more than one thought. But there's one major theological thought throughout the whole thread. It is, how do we who are sinful come into the presence of a holy God? That's why we sometimes call it the Roman road. You've heard of that, and maybe you have marked, as I have, and you placed in your memory the plan of salvation, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 and 10, and then you throw in Ephesians 2:8 just for good measure. We'll be dealing with that one next Sunday. And as you do that, you realize that the message of the book of Romans is, how do we who are outside God's will and God's holiness come into God's will, into His presence, into His glory, into heaven, where God dwells in a very special way. Paul has spent the first couple of chapters in the book of Romans to this point. We're going to begin to read in Romans chapter 3. He said that those who didn't have the law, the Gentiles, they're guilty of sin, and their sin will condemn them. And then he talks about the Jews who had the law. And he says the law will also point out your sin and that you're under the power of that sin. In fact, in our text today, we will recognize and realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of Almighty God. And in that moment, that's our plight, that's our condition, that's our position. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're lost. I don't say that with any glee or any joy. That breaks my heart. I don't want anyone to be lost. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. But that's your condition if you haven't asked for God to cleanse that sin to deal with that sin, to pay the debt of that sin, as it were. As he does this, he's now, as he concludes in chapter, or as he begins chapter 3, he says, does anybody have more advantage over anybody else? And ultimately, he's going to conclude not. And that's where we're going to begin to read in verse 9. Romans chapter 3, we're going to begin to read in verse 9, and we're going to read through verse 26. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. What then? Are the Jews any better off? No, they're no better off at all. For we've already charged them all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. This is the first time Paul talks about sin, singular, being a power over all people, that we're all under the power, the condemnation, the penalty of sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, and no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Aren't you glad you came to hear all this good stuff today, huh? He's showing us our condition. It's hard, but we need to hear it. But he's got good news. Don't give up on it. No one does good, not even one. Now, when we read 13 through 19, I want you to pay special attention because he's going to mention body parts, okay? Talking about the whole self, the whole. It was weird in ancient thought to divide the body and the soul. We do that, but they didn't do that. And so he uses the whole body to begin to describe the condition of those that are under sin. The throat is an open grave. And they use their tongues, the tongue, to deceive. And the venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Let me read that again. For by the works of law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The purpose of God's word is not to change you. That's what Christ came to do. It is to show you you need to be changed. That's what he's saying. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God, are you listening? Through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption, remember that word redemption, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. For this is to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He has passed over former sins. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing and grant us understanding of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, for a moment, could we block out all that would intrude upon our thoughts right now, that we might think clearly with You, about You, for You, and unto You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Justified means to make right. It's a legal term. In fact, some have argued that Paul in this chapter is as a lawyer presenting a legal case. And a lot of the words he uses are legal words. The word justified is a legal word. The word grace is a legal term as well. Here's what I want to tell you. And this may be a wonderful starting place in this message. And it may sound so obvious, but yet, theologically, we may not really understand how significant the words I'm about to say are. God can't ignore sin. God can't ignore sin. God can't ignore sin. If God could ignore sin, He would. If God could have ignored our sin, your sin and my sin, especially my sin, He would. But He can't. He just can't. Now, I'm talking about stuff that I can only go so far with because I've only got a human brain. Okay? But here's what I do know, is that God is a holy, righteous God. And you know, one of my pet peeves is that we've lost holy. That's why I don't let the boys wear their hats in the sanctuary, because we've lost holy. Bible says when you walk into a house, you ought to uncover your head. Men ought to uncover. Y'all remember that? How many of you were raised when you walked in a house? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Your mama would pop you on the back of your head if you walked in with a hat on your head. Okay? You know, that was biblical. That was a biblical understanding that entering into places you would uncover your. But we've lost holy. A lot of times the only time we use the word holy is in some profane way. Holy cow. What is that all about? God's a holy God. He's holy. He can't ignore sin, because if He ignored sin, it would compromise His holiness. He wouldn't be holy anymore if He could allow you and I to come into His presence with our sin and say, it's okay, it doesn't matter. We might use a psychological term of the day. It would be enabling behavior on God's part. God would be enabling us if our sin didn't matter, if a little sin didn't matter, then what's wrong with a medium sin? And if a medium sin's okay and God doesn't care, what's wrong with a big sin? And so there we go, down that slippery slope. God's holy. We sing number one almost every hymn book. It should never be any other number. It should always be number one. I'm not even sure it's number one in our hymn book. I hope it is. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed, holy, Trinity. God is holiness. And you and I, I'm glad you're sitting down, because we're not. We're not holy, you or I. We're not. We're not. We're not holy. We're sin. We're sin incarnate, you and I. We're sin. There's sin in our thoughts. There's sin in our actions. There's sin in our very thinking. We are unclean. Oh, that great passage when Isaiah saw the holiness of God in Isaiah chapter 6. And he saw His countenance. And he saw the seraphim as they came and ministered at the altar. You remember what he said? You remember his words when Isaiah, in this great theophany, in this great experience of him seeing God, of him seeing things that eyes just can't really imagine. You remember what he said? He said, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a land of people with unclean lips. I'm a sinner. Isaiah, when he really saw the holiness of God, recognized his condition. When you and I really see the holiness of God, that's why we can't compromise the holiness of God. Because if we compromise His holiness, then our sin's not nearly as bad as it really is. Well, have I convinced you by now that sin's a problem? Go read the book of Romans, because he will tell you over and over and over and over and over again that sin separates you and me from God. Not only does it separate us from God, but it separates us from the grace of God. And when we're separated from the grace of God, if there's not grace, there's only one thing left. A lot in the Bible is either this or that. And in the Bible, if it's not grace, it's God's wrath. It's God's wrath. It's either God's grace or it's His wrath. That's all there is. Our Catholic friends are wrong. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's right and there's wrong. There's heaven and there's hell. There's saved and there's lost. That's what there is. You see, you and I today, every one of us, we're in one of two places. You're either lost or saved. Let me say it another way. You're either under God's judgment, His wrath, or you're under God's grace. Let me say it another way. You're either a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you're striving to follow the very path that He has laid before you with blood-stained feet from the cross itself, or you're a non-disciple. Let me say it another way. We're either having as our eternal destiny heaven to go and be with the Lord that we love, or hell, to be totally separated from God for all eternity. Let me try one more time. We're either a believer or we're a non-believer. One more time, I promise, last time. You're either a Christian or you're a non-Christian. And Paul says this, you're either justified by the grace of God or you're not. You're either justified or you're not. Now, what I've noticed, and I traced it back in my research to the summer of 1968. That's when, in my opinion, the world started going down the wrong road. I'm just being facetious about that. The world's been going down the wrong road since Adam and Eve. Just so you know, if anybody's quoting me, that's when it all went bad. And it's been going bad ever since, because you and I are sinners by our very nature. But it was the summer of 1968 when Jenny C. Reilly sang a song that became a number one hit. And if you're an old, old, old person, you know that song. As soon as I say it, you'll know it. And if you're a younger person, and all these folks sitting down here, you ain't going to have a clue what I'm fixing to say. But I'm going to help you with it, okay? It's all good. The song was, how many of you already know what the song is? Yeah. Because I think she only had one hit, didn't she? She was one of them one-hit wonders. Harper Valley PTA. Jill, you know some stuff? Okay. Okay, Jill, well, I exclude Jill from this. Well, let me give you the backstory. I got to bring you up to snuff, right? There's a song, in fact, it's based by the writer of the song on a true event that he remembered from his childhood. And he wrote the song 30 years later in 1968. And the song goes that a little girl comes home from school. She's attending Harper Valley Junior High School. And she has a note for her mom. Well, that immediately begins to make you uncomfortable, doesn't it? Well, the note said, Mrs. Johnson, you're wearing your dresses way too high. It's reported you've been drinking and are running around with men and going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be bringing up your little girl this way. And it was signed by the secretary, Harper Valley PTA. Well, the song goes on and says it happens that the PTA was going to meet that very afternoon. And they were very shocked when Miss Johnson wore a miniskirt to that meeting, into the room, is how the song goes. I know the song. Well, it's interesting what happens there. Because there's a truth in what Miss Johnson is about to say. There's a tremendous truth in everything she's about to unpack at the Harper Valley PTA meeting. But there's a lie there. And we've been believing it a little bit, and 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 a little bit. We've been believing it since 1968, a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, until now we're pretty convinced it is the cultural norm. Well, she goes ahead in that song, and she begins to talk about married men that have asked her out
about folks who ought to keep their window shades all pulled completely down, and why one fellow secretary had to immediately leave the town, and she just goes on and says, you have the audacity to talk to me about my sin, and you don't do anything about your sin, and you're a worse sinner than I am. And her last line is this, and this is kind of the norm that became her hero chant. And I'm going to tell you, she's an anti-hero. Not she, not Jenny C. Riley, but this song. Well, you've got the nerve to tell me that you think that as a mother, I'm not fit. Well, this is just a little Peyton place, and you're all Harper Valley hypocrites. Well, y'all need to go Google Peyton Place, but don't. It was, I guess, the first soap opera. Now, if I had time, I could go down a soap opera road and preach a little while too, okay? Think about it. Think about as the morals of our country began to shift and change, how we began to entertain ourselves and what began to be normal. You see, she was right. They were hypocritical. You and I, we struggle with our hypocrisy. I'm not saying that we're all perfect. But let me tell you this. If ever the church stops pointing out sin in the world and starts to sugarcoat it, we need to shut our doors and go home, because we're done. We're done. If sin doesn't matter, then first of all, the biggest fool who ever walked on this planet, his name was Jesus Christ, because he went to the cross to pay for your sin and my sin. What an idiot if sin doesn't matter. Amen? What an idiot Jesus is if sin doesn't matter. Why in the world would anybody put themselves through the cross if sin doesn't matter? That man is an idiot. How many of us here think Jesus is an idiot? Then our sin must have had to be paid for, didn't it? You see, what that song does is say, because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, sin doesn't matter. You don't have a right to tell me I'm bringing up my little girl the wrong way. She was bringing up her daughter the wrong way. She was setting a horrible example for her daughter. She was breaking God's rules, God's laws, and God's ways. But we love the song because she put the rest of those sinners in their place, but nobody dealt with their sin. Nobody dealt with their sin. And so the message of that that song is, I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone, and we'll all be good. That's a lie, brothers and sisters. That's a lie. The lie of that song is, because we're all sinners, we should leave each other alone. The truth is, because we're all sinners, we need to gather together regularly to pray for one another, to challenge one another, to encourage one another, and sometimes to chastise one another when we're coloring outside God's lines. Let me put it another way to you, what this justification about how wrong sin can be made right by what Paul has told us. Let's say that you were driving down the road and you were caught speeding. And it was undeniable. The radar locked it in. You were traveling at a high rate of speed, higher than the law allowed. And after he wrote a ticket, there was a court date on that ticket that said you can go before a judge and you can plead your case. Back to a legal understanding of justification. And so you go, and while you're there, the court looks at all the evidence. They look at the radar. They look at the calibration of the radar. There's no way out. They've got you dead to right. And the judge says that's going to be a $250 fine plus the cost of court. And then suddenly, someone steps up and says, Judge, I'll pay the fine. I'll pay the cost of court. Now think about that for just a moment. You were guilty. You were driving too fast. The law says there's a fine that must be paid when you are caught by an officer of the law and and clocked it running too fast. Only somebody's got to pay the fine. And normally it's either you, but in this story I'm telling you, somebody's going to pay the fine for you. Someone is going to pay, and when the fine is paid, and court costs are paid, as far as the law is concerned, you're okay. Now, some of you might be reminding me they'll put points on your license, but don't go down that way with me today. You're okay. Your fine's been paid. Now, if you don't pay your fine, you don't show up for court, then they may offer what they call a bench warrant for your arrest, because the law will be satisfied, because now it's in the system that you've broken the law, and the fine, someone has to pay for the broken law. That's what justification is. I love what is said in verse 21, and it's one of those little terms that it's but now. If you've got your Bibles open to Romans 3:21, I want you to see, and it says, but now. That's used 12 times in the gospel, in the book of Romans. It's used 12 times, and it always in this book refers to the condition you were before under the wrath of God and the condition you're under now, but now, the grace of God. We all need a but now in our life. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God is how? Through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. The but now is, do you believe? Oh, Paul, he can't get away from it. In Romans 8:33, he says, it's God who justifies us. In Romans 5:9, he says, since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? In Romans 3:24, we just read a moment ago, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. If I had time, I was going to unpack propitiation. That'll be another time. But I got to unpack redemption. I got to unpack redemption, because that is a legal term, but it's a weird legal term. It's not a legal court term. In Roman law, you could go to the slave market. And the very Greek word that's used here that we translate redemption is the word that means to pay the price for a slave. Do you remember how many pieces of silver Judas Iscariot got when he showed them where Jesus would be in the garden? You remember how much it was? It was 30 pieces of silver. You know what that was? That was the normal redemption price for a slave. Wow! Am I the only one having a wow moment here? That Jesus, for the cost of the redeeming of a slave, redeemed you and me from the power of sin. You and I have been set free from the slavery of sin, from the bondage of sin, from the power of sin. That's what redemption means. To be redeemed is to be set free. To be justified is for the wrong in your life to be made right. The redeemed means to be set free. In Romans 4:5, he says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, you and I, his faith is counted for him as righteousness. You and I become holy, not by anything we've done, but by what Christ has done for us on the cross. As Taylor said, he becomes our eraser. And he spiritually erases the power of sin over our life in such a magnificent and holy way that you and I can come into the very presence of God. When I bring people into my office, especially some of our younger people, Some of you will remember this. I like to take a sheet of paper and I like to write all the sins, and I can just cover a whole sheet of paper that was white. I could probably make it look the same color of the ink for every sin you and I have committed. And it is an ugly sheet of paper. It's got marks all over it. We would never call it, as I remember my teacher would say, get out a clean sheet of paper. I don't know if they even still say that anymore. But that meant one that didn't have anything on it. Oh, my. When I look at my life and I put it on paper of every sin I've committed, of every thought I shouldn't think, of every deed I shouldn't have done, my paper becomes full of sin. It becomes full of negative things. And there I am, and I hold up another clean sheet of paper, and I say, let's let this represent the holiness of God. And then I hold up my sheet of paper. Y'all remember me doing this, don't you? And I hold up that sheet of paper, and I say, this one is so full of sin, there's no way it can come into the presence of a holy God. But then I go and I get another clean sheet of paper, and I say, this is Jesus. And when I allow Christ to come into my heart, and I make Him Lord, and I make Him my master, and I make Him my Savior, He covers my sheet. And then suddenly, there are two clean sheets of paper. Not because of anything I've done, but because the blood of Jesus washes away the sins of my life. And I'm justified by the power of God, by the grace of God, by the gift of God. That's the good news. Every person here who's hearing my voice, if you've never been justified from your sin, today you can be. Isn't that good news? That's wonderful news. Today you can be forgiven. I don't care how bad the sin was. You can be forgiven. I don't care how many sins it was. You can be forgiven. I don't care how long ago it was. You can be forgiven. And why do I say that on that count? How do I say that authoritatively? Didn't that sound like I knew what I was talking about? You know how I can say that? Because I don't know about any of your sin. But brothers and sisters, I know about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power He has over sin. I know the power He has over sin. And He can wash away every sin from every heart and from every life. Today, I love this verse. It says, moreover, whom He did predestine, them He also called. And those He called, those He justified. And those He justified, them He glorified. Romans 8:30. Faith, that's our response to God's grace. Faith. In a moment, I'm going to invite you, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, to step out of the aisle, walk down this center aisle, take me by the hand, and simply say, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, I want you to do that today. Because there's only two things you need to understand. There's only two things. If we take this justification and make it as simple as we possibly can, there's only two things you're going to need to understand. Is, first of all, do you believe what God says? And are you willing to accept what God's done? That's it. If you believe what God says, if any man will come unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If any man will confess his sin and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus came to do. If you believe that, then if you'll accept what He's done, if you'll accept it, right now, I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Right now, I also feel the Spirit of the Satan in this place. And that's usually when Satan comes to church more often, when he feels the Spirit of the Lord moving in his congregation. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to make that decision. You've never made it. But today, or today. And next Sunday, if you've got neighbors who need to hear a salvation message, you have them in this. You have them here next Sunday. You have them here next Sunday. Today, every wrong will be made right. Every wrong will be made right. If we choose today, once we've experienced the sweet Spirit of God, to say, no, I don't want that, then our wrongs will take us to a place where all wrongs will be ultimately dealt with, and that place is called hell, and it's an eternal destiny. But Jesus came that no one would go there. You don't have to go there. I don't want you to go there. Nobody in this building wants anybody to go there. But we've got to decide if we're going to do what Jesus has told us to do, if we're going to accept what he's done. If we do accept what he's done, then the way he'll make all our wrongs right, your wrongs and my wrongs, is he'll cover us with that sheet of Jesus. He'll cover us with the power of God. He'll cover us with that grace that is sufficient for all our needs. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God wants to do it. He wants to do it today. He wants to do it right now. I wonder if you're justified today. Can I remind us of something? Jesus paid our fine. Are we going to go out and keep speeding? Maybe it's time to slow down in our faith and to give thanks for the one who paid the price. Because brothers and sisters, lest I left you and some of you might have woken up in the middle of the sermon and didn't hear and you heard the preacher calling Jesus an idiot. Jesus is no idiot. He's the greatest man who ever breathed this air. He's the greatest man who ever made footprints on this earth. He's my Lord and he's my Savior. He died in my stead. He paid my price. And I want to show my gratitude by how I live. How about you? How about you? Are there some things today we who are justified need to correct? Come on. Are there some things we need to stop doing, start doing? And if you're here today and you don't know Christ and the pardon and forgiveness of sin, all of heaven, they're on the rail. They're leaning in and they're looking right here. And they're pulling for you. The Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses. They're pulling for us today. As the Holy Spirit leads, if you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, why not right now? Why not right now? This moment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you know every heart. We can hide from each other, but we can't hide from you. You know every need. You know what we need to do this day. Decisions we need to make. Maybe some of us here are Christians, but we've wandered away from that faith. We've ignored some things. We've neglected some things. We've just absolutely gone the different way. We've started speeding all over again. Spiritually speaking, you know, Lord. May we make the decisions we need to make. And if there's one here today, Lord, and there is one here today, there's probably more than one here today, who now, if they're honest just before you, would say, I've never accepted Christ and what he did on the cross for my sin. Then today, may your Holy Spirit bathe over that thinking one more time. May your Holy Spirit go to that person nose to nose, face to face, heart to heart, and say, son or daughter, I love you. I died in your place. I took all the power of sin away. If you'll accept me, I'll give it to you for all eternity. Lord, you know the need. Would you give us strength? Would you give us faith to believe what you say and to act on what you've done? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 663, Grace to You. This morning, if God is speaking, and I believe God is speaking, and we need to make some decisions, whether public or private, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to beg you to do that. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to beg you to step out during this hymn. Come on down. Maybe you don't understand it all. That's okay. You just feel the Holy Spirit quickening your spirit right now. You feel God's presence in your life right now. You know God wants to do something he's never done before. And as we sing this hymn and offer this godly invitation, would you step out and come and say, today, I want to be justified before my God as we stand together.
Grace to you.
feel the Holy Spirit in this place this day. Maybe there's a battle going on in someone's heart. Let me ask you to do this at the end of the service today. Maybe just hang back a little bit. Unless you and I have a conversation. We don't need a congregation to make this decision. But we need to make this decision. So if God's Spirit is moving in your heart today, and you need to do that, would you just see me at the end of our service today? And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be as just in his laws. God, we leave this place because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your love, because of what Christ did on the cross for Gary McCullough, that he died in my place and paid my price. And God, I am so grateful. I am so grateful. God, would you go with us as we go out into a world where sin is rampant and most everybody thinks it's okay. But God, you're still a holy God. And we still have to deal with what you say. And the only way to do that is what Christ did for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.